Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Sports Talk Live on NBC Sports Chicago. It's brought to you by the Chevy Silverado, and their service centers are open. Their technicians are working. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. Find a location near you. With Casey Johnson, Gordon Wittenmeyer, Russ Dorsey, I'm David Kaplan. How are you guys doing? Russ, I haven't seen you in a while. How are you doing over the last 14 days? It's been stressful times.
It's been tough, Cap. It's been tough, and you want to, you know, everything we've seen, it's just been tough to get up sometimes. Like, I haven't been sleeping well the last week or so, and I know a lot of people are in the same boat, and you just get to a point where, like, for me personally, over the weekend, it was, all right, I'm upset, and I'm angry, and I am hurt, but I need to do something. So let me get as much information out to people as I can. And I had tons of people calling me and texting me, hey man, what can I do? And so I'm sharing books, I'm sharing places people can go to stay informed and stay up to date so they know the root cause of a lot of these things that are happening in our country right now that have happened for centuries. And it just gets to a point where that becomes too much. So for me, you know, Monday, it was a really tough day because it was the first time that I got, after I talked to our guy, Mark Carmen, it was just, everything had gotten overwhelming. And I got to a point where I'm on my couch in my apartment in tears because I had been thinking about everything else and just hadn't had time to think about how I was doing, and I wasn't doing good, man. So it's been, the thing that's helped me a lot is so many different people have called and texted me like, hey man, I care about you and the things that are going on in your community and your family, and we got to stop this, and I'm right here with you. Whatever you need, I'm there too. So that's been a blessing, and having people by your side as you go through these things is so important.
KC, Gordon, you guys, your families, I trust everybody is okay. We've talked. As you sit in your chairs and cover teams and see what's going on, are you seeing more outreach and more willingness to speak frankly like Akeem Hicks did so beautifully and eloquently yesterday?
Yeah, KC Sport is good at that. The sport I cover, not so much. No, I'm not seeing that. I don't know if you saw the Cubs' response to this. It came far too late. Inexplicably late. I don't know why they waited so long.
Exceptionally vanilla.
And it didn't even address what the cause of the protests were. It didn't even allude to it. So it was really empty. And there's far too much of that going on across all the sports with all the teams and some of the leagues and their statements. So until somebody shows some action, I don't trust any of those statements. And no, in baseball, I did see on the Athletic actually had a panel of former players, black players. It was hosted by Doug Glanville, and there was some very important subjects raised there and some powerful words by a lot of those guys. I'd recommend anybody go check that out. But beyond that, I haven't seen a lot around baseball, no.
JC?
Well, first, I just want to say I appreciate what Russ just said very much. I thought that was a lot of vulnerability that he showed, and I think that's really powerful and awesome that we get to hear that, because that's what we need to do right now. We need to listen. So me talking doesn't really do much other than I can say that I'm proud to cover a pretty progressive league in the NBA, and the NBA community, I think, is reacting to this situation and these times the way they typically do, and that's with empathy and understanding and action and the need to look inward to do better, because that's what we all can do, including myself.
Russ, when you heard Akeem Hicks yesterday come out and say, and it wasn't a shot at Mike Glennon, it was a shot at the system. And 4 years ago, I wasn't the person that I am today. None of us are. But I also feel like, well, that guy 4 years ago didn't understand what Colin Kaepernick was doing. 4 years later, I do understand what he was doing. And I think we'd be in a better place had we listened to his message instead of not understanding his message. So when you hear Akiem Hicks say that, what goes through your mind?
It's challenging because Akiem Hicks is 100% accurate. And there are a lot of people, Eric Reed, who was right with Colin Kaepernick for a long time, saying, hey, man, this is an issue. And I don't – like, it wasn't – they weren't coming out. They weren't bashing people. They're just saying, listen, I'm – as a part of the Black community, this is what's wrong in our country right now, and we need to bring attention to it. And nobody wanted to hear it. So now you see what is going on in our country, and you're seeing it on CNN, and you're seeing it on MSNBC, and you're seeing it on our local stations here in town and on Twitter and Instagram. It's getting to people, and people are seeing. There were just words to people before, even though you could definitely find what was going on. You could definitely understand what those dudes were talking about. And now people seeing it and have video to match with those words, they ring a little different today than they did 4 years ago. The problem is Akiem Hicks doesn't own a team. And Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed, those guys aren't decision makers in the NFL. And until those things change and until decision makers start to wake up and realize what's going on, not only within their sport, but within this country, it's hard for me to see that changing anytime soon.
KC, you mentioned versus Gordon, who said his sport, he doesn't see it. Your sport, I think, has the best commissioner, and it is the most progressive of the major sports. Why is that?
Well, I think part of it, I mean, and by the way, I want to be like everywhere in society in the world, you can do better. I mean, you know, you just look at the leadership positions that Russ is alluding to. I mean, I actually don't have the numbers in front of me, but, you know, the Bulls just even in recent situations were kind of drawn under fire a little proactively for not interviewing African-American positions for the EVP slot. They ended up hiring a black for their general manager position in Mark Eversley. But, you know, so in leadership positions, they still can do better. But I just feel like given the makeup of the league and the, you know, the number of African-American players and just the fact that so many players that are in the league have been, you know, aware of racism and, you know, playing alongside African-American players their whole lives, I think leads to hopefully more inclusion and open-mindedness. That's been personally my experience, having been around the league for as long as I have. And also my experience as a player. I played at Evanston Township High School, and I am proud that Evanston is, you know, as economically and racially diverse of a community as it is. That doesn't mean that just like everywhere else, Evanston can't be better, because it can. I think the difference with this situation is, I think this one just feels different to me. And it's easy for me to say as a white person, but this one feels different to me because I think more people, at least in the conversations I'm having, are really taking a hard look inward at themselves. And that includes myself, who, you know, I'm married to a adoptee from South Korea. I'm raising multiracial children in this world. And yet I'm still using this opportunity to say, how can I be better? And so I think this is an important time, obviously, for our world and for our country.
Yeah, I had said the other day, I feel like you do, that this, again, I'm a very optimistic person, but I do feel like this one's different. This is going to be the flashpoint to change. But then I'm reminded of one of my favorite movies, Remember the Titans. You guys have all seen it. Remember the Titans, there's a scene, Big Julius is walking down the street to go visit his friend, Gary Bertier, and a police car pulls up. And in the scene, Julius is terrified. Why is this white police officer pulling over? And all he wanted to do was tell him, you played a good game last night. When he pulled away, you see him relax. That was 50 years ago, and we're still in the same place. 50 years later. Gordon, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Sickening. I hope it changes.
We talked about this the other day, Cap. That's one of the things that frustrates me. You get to this age, and when I came of age, when you came of age, maybe my eyes opened as a white guy who didn't have to think about it and began to see some things over the years. You saw, well, maybe this is, you would see these things and you would think, well, this is the time of change. We're going to see change now. We're going to cheat, whether it's Rodney King or whomever. And now here we are again, and we're saying the same thing. And that's the most frustrating part of it.
All right, we have to take a timeout. We'll come back. Adam Amin's going to join me. The NBA is back. The NHL is back. Major League Baseball, not so much. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back on Sports Talk Live, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. We'll talk to the great new voice of the Bulls, Adam Amin, in a moment. What will the Bulls do in this unprecedented offseason, and how will the league's brand-new format impact teams' quest for an NBA championship? Tomorrow night at 7, watch The Return, NBA, and join a star-studded crew, including Adam, Casey Johnson, as they break down what's next for our Bulls and the rest of the NBA. And my friend Adam Amin joins us, and we got a chance to talk the other day, and I'm so thrilled for you at this really amazing opportunity. But unfortunately, the Bulls season for this year has come to an end. What's your perspective on where they're at right now?
This is a team, obviously, that showed glimpses, and that's not enough for fans, especially of a proud organization. Obviously, we understand that. But when we kind of evaluate the personnel that we saw, how young this team is, remember, they came into the season one of the three youngest rosters in the entire NBA. To see that there are glimpses, there is a significant level of potential with the young talent that's already there. I think there's a lot of room for optimism going forward. I know it was tough when at the end of January, you feel like you're in the mix, you're a couple games out of a playoff spot, and you have some bad losses that lead to a really rough February. I understand that. That's not a great way to end, but if we're looking towards the future and kind of seeing what the injection of this, you know, talent in the front office can potentially do, we have a date set for the draft. That's, you know, something to look forward to as well, hopefully without the number 7 pick. That being said, I think there's a lot of room for optimism. I think it's okay to look forward and think, you know, this is a cyclical league and things can turn around relatively fast. I feel like the Bulls are actually in position to make a legit push to be a contending playoff team and then to be a potential top 4 team in an improving Eastern Conference in a very near future.
You know, they won't have as much salary cap flexibility for a year because you would think after coming off a lot of injuries, Otto Porter will opt in for $28 million. I know you and I, we certainly would opt in for that, and I'm sure he will as well. But it also, I have not seen, Adam, as much enthusiasm for all the decisions that have been made during this global pandemic, from Arturas to Mark Eversley to J.J. Polk, and then your hiring. Everyone is really excited. Everything's on an uptick. Do you feel that vibe?
I have felt it this week, certainly, kind of being thrust into it, which is a really good feeling just personally for me. But to look at the overall picture of this, yes. I am a huge fan of what Arturas did in Denver, the turnaround that they've had. They've been a top 4 team for most of this past season. Obviously, we'll see what happens as the NBA returns with this new format. But Denver's turnaround has been very apparent through their draft and through their free agency process to get guys like Jamal Murray and sign him to a long-term extension, turning him to one of the younger stars in the league, to get a guy like Paul Millsap. Nikola Jokic, obviously, is as key to his team as any player is to the success of their organization. And Arturas was a big part of that in a lower role, obviously. Now he's being elevated to a major role in this organization. So there's room for optimism there. The Mark Eversley hire is excellent, I think, because he's seen a lot of peaks and valleys. Remember, this is a Philadelphia organization that's gone through the process already. That was some lean years, man. We were talking some of the roughest starts that franchise has ever seen, and that's a proud franchise as well. So to see the valleys and then be able to work to some legitimate peaks that you're looking for in an organization, hitting on draft picks, obviously they've dealt with a lot of injuries. They've done a lot of maneuvering to get guys to come to Philadelphia to be free agents, whether it's for a year, 2 years, or for long-term deals, and they've brought success as well. I really think there's room for optimism in that sense. That's why we were talking about the infusion of young talent in the front office. You mentioned J.J. Polk as well, who's got a really good track record. I think that there have been some really good moves by the Bulls as an organization to improve their internal moves as well, not only the product on the floor, but in the front office as well.
I'm also excited, Adam, that I look at the young core, and I know Lauri Markkanen had some struggles. I didn't feel he was used properly, and I think you may see some things done differently with him. Wendell Carter's got to prove he can stay healthy, but a really good player. Coby White may not be a pure point guard, but he's a pure star talent basketball player. What do you see out of this young core?
Yeah, I think those three players that you just mentioned certainly need to improve on very significant aspects, right? We need to see more consistency from Kobe White, but look at the flash that he had in the month of February. Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month. He had an outstanding month that in that stretch. Some 30-point games, the really high percentage shooting clip that carried over into March a little bit before the pandemic shut things down. You need to see consistency from him. I think with Wendell Carter, yeah, you said it. If he can be on the floor, if he can stay healthy, then, man, he's an impact player. We saw how the Bulls' defensive numbers went down significantly. Their defensive efficiency was really solid with Wendell Carter in the lineup. It went down in, you know, very poorly towards the bottom of the NBA without Wendell Carter. But they're a middle-of-the-pack at worst team defensively with Wendell in the lineup when he is healthy. And Lauri Markkanen in there, you know, we've heard a lot from Casey Johnson talking about the regression and what Mark Eversley wants to focus on. Why did Lauri struggle as much as he did after having a really good run as an outside shooter and being one of the more prolific three-point shooters among younger players in the league to having a really regressive season? So if he can find a really good fit, if this organization can find a really good fit for him with the rest of the personnel on the floor, this is why there's room for optimism. This is why people should be excited about the potential of this team. You can't bank on potential, but I do feel like there's something to invest in right now with those three young players.
Last thing for you, Mark Eversley, you mentioned, and I really like the hire, and you mentioned going through the ups and downs in Philly. He also has lengthy ties to Nike. And when you can get into the grassroots level of building and starting to get young players and changing the perception that's been around, that combined with people looking at The Last Dance going, wait a minute, it was amazing back in Chicago. I feel like everything's going that way.
There's momentum, right? And maybe for the first time in a while, there's tangible momentum. It's one thing to feel it. It's one thing to kind of see potential and think, all right, there's something going. But this feels like tangible momentum. Sure. The kind of attention that you got from The Last Dance, you can't get that, man. That's 5 million people a week, you know, over all 10 episodes on average, watching that and remembering what the glory days of this franchise were like. The NBA is better when the cornerstone franchises are successful. I would love to see the Knicks be competitive again. I would love to see the Lakers stay consistent. I want to see that because you need these big market franchises to be successful. If the Bulls get back to some level of prevalence and dare I say dominance down the line someday, the popularity of this league, we saw what happened in the 90s when the Knicks and Bulls and in the late 80s going into the 90s with the Lakers and their resurgence in the late 90s and into the 2000s. That's when everybody felt like the league was at its healthiest. I think that can happen again. I know there's going to be a lot of variables when in New York in particular with that, but I think we can get back to that point again.
My man, I've said it many times. I'm so thrilled for your opportunity, and you and I both are living proof. We didn't play in the NBA or the NFL or pro baseball. We just got an opportunity and then tried to see where it took us, and you've taken it to the mountaintop. Very proud of you.
I appreciate you and all your support, buddy. Honestly, it means a lot. It means the world to me. Thank you.
We'll see you soon. Glad we're on the same team. That's Adam and me. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back, more to do on Sports Talk Live. Welcome back on Sports Talk Live with Casey, with Russ, with Gordon. I'm David Kaplan. The NBA made it official. They are back. Gentlemen, your thoughts. Russ, what do you think about this plan as a baseball guy, but a basketball fan?
I'm really excited to see the NBA back, as most people are. If you think about this 22-team proposal that's now going to be in existence, it's really good. You're going to get teams like the Portland Trailblazers and the New Orleans, young team like the New Orleans Pelicans, in a situation where they have to rise to the occasion to try to fight for a playoff spot. And I think that's great. I think people forget, because it seems like 2 years ago, but Damian Lillard averaged 48-10 over a 8-game stretch back in January. And that's the type of guy that you want to see in these moments and see potentially fight for a spot in the playoffs. So I'm excited for it, and I want to see it.
KC, what do you think of this new plan where we have 22 teams, but it ends the Bulls season?
Yeah, I found it a little bit arbitrary, quite frankly. I understand, you know, why they're doing it, but I personally was in favor of either the 16-team format or the 30-team format. I find a cutoff, while understandable, because they're trying to get some games played before the playoffs start, and also obviously to maximize any revenue possibilities. I just thought either go safely with the 16 if you want to minimize things, or bring the whole party. I just find it, and I would say this even if the Bulls were part of the 22, I just find it pretty exclusionary for those eight teams that are on the outside looking in.
Let's move to baseball. Gordon, They had a great opportunity to grab center stage, and it just keeps dragging on. And we hear Tom Ricketts say this, and we hear that owner say that, Ken Kendrick from Arizona, and we have Blake Snell say this. And Tom Glavine says, you guys are not going to believe me, but you're going to look bad if this doesn't work out. So where are we?
It's classic baseball, right? Throughout history. And where we are is they're going to get a deal done, and then they'll just kind of go right back into the mix with everybody else playing. They won't have the center stage to themselves like they could have if they'd have been more aggressive with this. But the bigger thing is, and my bigger concern in all of this, is that you just had a Japanese team have two more guys test positive after they restarted, including the reigning MVP of his league. And that's a concern that's being expressed among the sides now as they hammer out some of the safety protocol. They'll get started. But you know, you just saw the Penguins had a guy test positive. The Alabama footballs had five guys test positive. This is probably the bigger issue now, and especially all these protests across the country. A lot of people are expecting perhaps another spike in coronavirus cases, and baseball. One more reason, I guess, why baseball may have just shot itself in the foot again.
Now, as a baseball fan, I'm excited if it comes back. If it doesn't, shame on them. As Jason Stark so eloquently put it, they're driving the baseball bus right over the proverbial cliff.
Absolutely.
You guys, quickly, both of you, Russ, you cover baseball. Casey, you like baseball. Your kids play baseball. You guys excited if they get baseball back or don't care?
I think I would love to have baseball back. Obviously, it's what we do, and it would be great to be back doing what we love again and having our pastime on TV again. But it's hard when you see all these things going on and a lot of back and forth in the media about playing or not playing, and now you have the financial aspect involved in it. It's kind of sad that baseball couldn't come to an agreement by now.
Casey?
Yeah, I've kind of checked out a little bit because it's, as Gordon's alluded to, it's just a bunch of people fighting over a pile of money. So, you know, if the original intent of, you know, doing this for the greater good in a safe fashion was legitimate, they would have already reached an agreement by now.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Appreciate having you guys always with us. We'll see you tomorrow on Sports Talk Live. Don't forget, 7 o'clock Friday night, our NBA Returns show with KC, Adam Amin, and more. Have a great night. See you.